Okay, here we go.
The Pasha that we will be exploring in this year is the Pasha of Kisisa. I want to dedicate the Shir, the Ilu Nishmas, my father, Abi Meiri, Zechat Sadeh Debracha, Nesanel Ben Harab Vifoel. His yahrzeit was today, Thursday, Wednesday night, on Chof Adar. My father was never zoche to learn in yeshiva, not even one day in his life. Both my father and mother were, to a large extent, completely autodidactic. They grew up in homes, Baruch Hashem, of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, and my father, more or less on his own, became quite proficient in texts and the like. He actually enjoyed learning immensely, and even though he was a person who fulfilled the dictum of Chazal and the Psukim, Yigia Kapech Kiseichel Hashrecha V'Tovlach, to a large extent, whatever work ethic I have was certainly acquired from him. He was not an individual who took time off. He had no concept of vacation whatsoever. The only vacations he took were those that were halachically mandated. He never worked on Purim because of the Chazal Kala Oseh Melacha B'Purim and Arayah Simebracha. He didn't work on Tisha B'Av because Tamil Chacham don't work on Tisha B'Av. The Olam Yasa Adam Atzvah Ketam Chacham. He didn't work in Chol HaMoed because of the problematic involved in Chol HaMoed. Other than that, he had absolutely no concept of vacation. He didn't understand the value of vacation, the significance of it, the importance of it. I tried to explain to him about R&R, which is critical, most important segment, according to the Talmidim that I teach in our lives, rest and relaxation, 24/7. And in between, there's also some time for learning and perhaps some work as well, el trabaja, as the Spanish would put it. But my father did not subscribe to that, and he was a workaholic, and he worked all day. But one thing which stands out, and this I saw again on the Keber today in Harazesim, which I wrote the entire inscription for the Matzeva about my father and mother, Alei Mashalom. My father davened with incredible kabbana. His emuna, his bitachon in Hashem Yisbarach was nothing short of being unbelievable. Every benching in my house, my mother and father used to bench together. They used to sing the benching. The benching took 15 minutes, what it takes so many shuls to daven shachris. That was their benching. And the tefillah of my father was an hour and 15 minutes on a daily basis. Every word was enunciated, mila b'mila. Tremendous emuna in Hashem Yisbarach. And I grew up in that kind of ambiance, Baruch Hashem, I was zoche. And at the same time, my father also instilled in me a very significant element of my chinuch, which is to read texts very, very carefully. Perhaps because my father had no background, no yeshiva background, that was a maila. In general, it's not a maila, it's a chisaron. Although, for what I could see, most Gedolei Yisrael who became Gedolei Yisrael became then because they did not learn in a yeshiva setting, and therefore they were able to develop indigenously, independently, autonomously, and came to incredible heights. And my father also reached unbelievable heights for someone who was completely self-educated. And as I said, every aspect of his life was very mechushav, very carefully thought out. He was a thought-out person. He was a Cooper Union graduate. Those from the Anglo-Saxon countries are not familiar with Cooper Union, but essentially my father's areas were physics and math. That's what he wanted all of his children to enter. And somehow most of his children ended up in Clay Kodesh. I guess that has something to do with physics and math. There's some connection there somewhere. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I owe certainly everything in my life and the Sefer that I wrote on Chumash, which is called Shaila Avi, is dedicated to my father, Zechat Tzadik Debracha. So the Shir is given to Ilu Nishmas, Nesanel Ben Harab, Rav Rafael. Again, I want to read a text in Kisisa, in this week's Parsha, well known to all of us, but there's a fair amount of discussion among the Dolei HaRishonim regarding this text, exactly what it's coming to teach us. We're reading in page number one of the Maamar Makomos in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Daled. This is in the wake of the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu again intervened with Hashem Yisbarach and was zochet to Yud Gimel Midos Shavachamim. And then we have a series of psukim that follow upon the heels of that, where Moshe Rabbeinu obviously is grateful to Hashem Yisbarach, not only for the intervention, but the response to the intervention, giving once again Klal Yisrael a hope, a tether on life, if you will. And then in Pasuk Tes, in Perek Lamed Aleph, you have in front of you on the screen, Vayomer Emno Matzasi Chen Be'enecho Hashem Yelechno Hashem V'kibeinu Ki Am K'she'orif Hu V'salachto L'avoneinu U'lechatzaseinu U'lechatonu. And then we have the underlying psukim. Vayomer, Hine Anochi Koreis Bris. There's now going to be apparently a new bris that's going to be consummated, a new covenant. Neged Kol Amcho Yasen Yiflos Asher Lo Nivru B'chol Aretz U'b'chol Agoyim. A rather cryptic kind of statement. Namely, a statement that states, Neged Kol Amcho, there are going to be Niflos, wonders that are going to be done. Asher Lo Nivru B'chol Haaretz U'b'chol Agoyim. Wonders that were never created, either on this globus, U'b'chol Agoyim. V'roh Cholom Asher Atov B'kirvos Masi Hashem Kinorohu Asher Ani Oseh Imoch. And everyone will see the handiwork of Hashem, how awesome it is, that which is being done with you. So the Ramban, right away, asked this question. The Ramban is found in your Nemar Mekomos on page number 4. The Ramban has the following comment. Neged kol amcho ese niflos v'roch olam asher ato bekirbo, says the Ramban, ki agdolos v'naros ha'ele emoshe yaso samu v'aburo. Everything that's being done is being done on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ha'om yiu babris, the nation is the one that's consummating the covenant. But are you talking the farish she'avtiach lasos im Yisrael ato niflos ha'shelo nivru mikodim michal aretz u'chal agoyim? But the pasuk cannot possibly mean that Hashem is going to now provide Klal Yisrael with wonders that were never created before, heretofore not seen. That's what we saw till now. We saw unbelievable wonders, nisim and niflos that occurred in Mitzrayim, the makos and the like. So what exactly is the Torah referring to? So where exactly is this tosefes of niflos? The Ramban continues, initially, the niflos that preceded this promise were greater. Ela sheha'inyan yirmoz el shikun hashchina bahem. What is the Torah referring to? The Torah is referring to hashuas hashchina. Ve'el hayoso v'moshe l'shem u'teferes banelom u'bamufla. Kashe amar v'niflino v'akadosh baruch hu yareinu niflos mitoroso. Fascinatingly enough, the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam and the Chizkuni and Abin Abachaye and many, many Rishonim understand that these psukim are referring to the radiance and the glistening on the face of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why the pasuk says, it stresses, Asher ani oseh imoch. If you'll take a look on page number 3, here you can see some of the mefarshim that I just mentioned. The Rashbam comments that the reference here is to the statement of the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kikaron or Panov. And the source of this is actually a chazal, it's a psikta, that indicates that this pasuk, Hineh Anochi Koreis Bris, Neged Kol Amcho Eseh Niflos, even though it's not explicit in the text of the pasuk that we're talking about, Kikaron or Panov, that's how the Medrash understands it. The Ibn Ezra as well, if you look there, you'll see the Ibn Ezra has a similar kind of comment. Ibn Ezra writes in a very beautiful and incredibly majestic kind of way. On page number 3, Vayom hinei anochi kores bris. Says Ibn Ezra, Vizehu ki al pi advar me'ele karati itcha bris es Yisrael. These are psukim that are found later on, Pasuk of Zayin, of this parak, a parak lamed dalid. And Ibn Ezra is referring to a Gemara in Gittin, a well-known Gemara, the Gemara comments on Daf Samach, Omer Rabbi Yechonam, the Gemara says, the covenant that Hashem consummated with Klal Yisrael was dafka via Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law. So the Ibn Ezra goes on to say here on page number 3, on this pasuk, Hineh Anochi Koreis Bris, what are we referring to? Says the Ibn Ezra, V'hei matznoyim haksuvim etchila shmar lecha, earlier psukim. Ibn Ezra indicates that here we have a reference of an allusion to the second luchos, the second set of tablets. V'yiye kishtar edus. These second luchos constitute a shtar. They constitute a document of testimony. V'chol zeh shesalachti la'avonam. Hoya babur kivodcha. The fact that Hashem expiated for the chet ha'egel was all because of his covet, your covet. Al kein esa imcha niflos. And therefore Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, everything was done because of you, and therefore I'm going to do with you. Again, the Ibn Ezra stresses the end of the pasuk, Hashem ani osa imach, I'm going to do with you niflos, sheyismu kol ro'echa, v'yedu ki nasati hod alecha. Everyone will know that the glory, the radiance of Hashem is on Moshe Rabbeinu, has been vouchsafed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shelo asisi kei miyom shebarasi shamayim baretz. Such a phenomenon was heretofore non-existent from the days that Hashem created heaven and earth. V'zehu dvar krinus ponov. And the reference of krisas bris, says the Ibn Ezra, like the other Rishonim that I cited, refers to the radiance on the face of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe's physiognomy that was unique and distinct. V'hinei kosev b'moso, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, lo chasa eino, v'lo nas lecho, hefech toledet kol haskenim. Normally, as people age, so obviously they're going to be physiologically affected. Moshe Rabbeinu was not affected, kihuzeh, and all this emanated, says the Ibn Ezra, from the karni or. This is the hod that Moshe Rabbeinu was zochetu on the part of Hashem Yisbarach. So the question is, what exactly do these Rishonim have in mind? Seemingly, they are already alluding to the fact that there's a fundamental distinction between the first luchos and the second luchos, and we have to try to understand what's the nature of that distinction. How do they differ, the first set of luchos from the second set of luchos? Apparently, that's what Rishonim seemingly are alluding to. The Rashbam as well, in a similar kind of comment, take a look again on the same page. On Hinei Anochi Kores Bris, says the Ramban, Al Zo She'elech Imachem, Hashem will accompany us. The Gamas Adover Azeh She'edibar to Eseh, even that which you, Moshe Rabbeinu, requested, I will fulfill. She'amarta, what did you say? B'niflinu ani ba'amcha. Somehow the Jewish people will be distinctive, will be unique. Neged kol amcha Eseh lecha ha'afla. This distinctiveness is going to be established, going to be concretized. And everyone will see this. Everyone will, in effect, be taken in by this awesome kind of event. Namely, what event? Says the Rashbam, Klal Yisrael were in trepidation. They were not able to approach Moshe Rabbeinu in such a carefree, relaxed kind of fashion. So here also, the Rashbam and the Chizkuni as well, in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud, also has a similar kind of approach to the approach which you already mentioned. Take a look on page number 4. The Chizkuni is one of the fascinating Rishonim that has some incredible Chidushim. Anyone who's looking for Chidushim, often in Brisk, Brisk happens to be, they have a love affair with the Chizkuni. They're very into the Chizkuni. He's one of the Rishonim who's not so well known, but Baruch Hashem, the art scroll here, published it, and they also provided nikud for the Chizkuni, so they elucidated it considerably. But the Chizkuni has some remarkable chidushim that often Brisk, they hang their hat on the Chizkuni. I can give you many examples, not for now, but on the bottom of page number 4, you'll see the Chizkuni commenting also on this Krisas Bris. He writes the following, Hinei Anochi Kores Bris Imcha, again, the stress on that last word, again, the same language that parallels the language here of Asher Ani Oseh Imach, and then the language of Ki Al Pi Advarim Eile Karati Itcha. The focus, the stress is on Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem has a strikingly unique relationship with him. There was a need, says the Chizkuni, for a new covenant. The original Bris, namely, we're talking about the original Luchos, that was negated, that was repudiated. Therefore, the kibol yatzasim mitzrayim gam kiskan peterechem, and then the chizkune in summing up this krisas bris notes what is the nature of this krisas bris ki norahu. What is the wonder that's being presented over here? Kirun ponim shenemar vayiru migeshes elos. So it seems that all the rishonim more or less seem to acquiesce the way they understood these psukim, namely the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's physiognomy is glistening, that seems to be the focal point of this krisas bris, of this new covenant that's being contemplated with them. Now we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Chizkuni actually indicates this, and other Rishonim as well, point out there were several bakoshos on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu felt there should be some sort of demarcation between, number one, Klal Yisrael and Umas Olam, and the rest of the nations of the world. There were two requests that were embedded here in the Pasha Kisisa. And Hashem answered, Hashem responded to Moshe Rabbeinu's request, Neged kolamcha ese lecha hafla. Everyone will see the gdula that I do with you, namely, kidnorahu, namely, what are we referring to? Vayu b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Moshe kikaron arpanov. They saw this glistening, this radiance on the features of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the question is, what is exactly the nature of that? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu somehow making such a request that he should be set apart, he should be somehow demarcated from the rest of the nation? Now, in the beginning of the Pasha, the Torah tells us in Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Aleph, and the Psukim you can see actually on page number one, where the Torah tells us, upper left-hand corner, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Psal Lecha, Shnei Luchos Avonim, Karishonim. This is the opportunity to once again carve out another set of luchos. The chasati ala luchos es hadvarim ashahoyu ala luchos harishonim asher shibarta. Essentially, we're talking about the second luchos, which are a replica of the initial set of luchos, the first luchos. So the Ibn Ezra, again here, Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Aleph, has another incredibly striking comment on page number two, lower left-hand corner. It's actually middle of the page. Ibn Ezra quotes, as he's wont to do quite often, Omar HaGon. Ibn Ezra quotes the Gon. Generally, the Gon that's quoted by Rishonim either refers to Rav HaGon or Rav Sadia Gon, but the Ibn Ezra cites a Gon, Ki Hashniim Nichbodim Rishonim. Writes Ibn Ezra, the second set of Luchos were clearly on a higher level than the first set of Luchos. Ki Hashniim Nitnu Biyom Kodesh Biyom HaKippurim. The second ones were given on Yom Kippur, below Chen HaRishonim. The initial luchos, the initial tablets, were not connected to Yom Kippur, and in a nusach that's in brackets, you can see, Ki Heim Yardu B'Yom Yizayim B'Tamuz U'B'Yom Chol. That's number one, the distinction in terms of the day when the luchos were given. Number two, says the Ibn Ezra, V'Yeshim Ashniim Zecher Sholosh Brisos. The second set of luchos has in it three different covenants. Uvashnim ksiv the manyitavloch. In the second one, you have the language of the manyitavloch, which is not found in the first. This is the discussion in Gemara Baba Kama. There are a number of distinctions between the first luchos and the second luchos, kayadua. Most of them are minor in nature, but some of them are quite significant. Varishonim nishtabru. The first luchos, of course, were broken. Ve'elo kidivre chalom. So what does Ibn Ezra say to the words of this gong? He says, when the Gaon suggests that there's a distinction between Luchos set number one and set number two, and he more or less delineates some of the distinctions, he calls these Divrei Chalom, Lo Malim Velo Moridim. Essentially, Ibn Ezra, in his uncensored kind of fashion, is taking the Gaon to task. He doesn't agree. How could you say something of that nature? How could you distinguish between first set of Luchos and second set of Luchos? That which the Gaon suggested is divrei chalom, essentially words that are in a dream that have no foundation. Ki michtav elokim, are you shneim? Both of them are equal. Both of them are obviously the divine word. V'yod ki arishonim, are you masi elokim? He says, pumfakert, on the opposite. The converse is true. The first luchos were masi elokim, the handiwork of Hashem is barach, vashneim, maise Moshe. So it's fascinating that even though the Ibn Ezra essentially does not agree with the position of the Gaon, however, that which the Gaon said is already found in the Medrash, and the Netziv in Ha Mekdavar in his Perash Al HaTorah points out that the Medrash Chazit, which is the Medrash Anshei Hashirim, a well-known Medrash, writes on the Pasuk, Smolo Tachas L'Roshi. The left hand is under my head. Those referring to the first set of Luchos. V'imino Techabkeini. And the right hand, Mechabek, hugs. That refers to Luchos Shniyam. So apparently there is a basis for the distinction between the first Luchos and the second Luchos, and that's what we have to try to see if we can understand the distinction between them. At the end of the Parsha, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, here again, you can see this on page number one, the Psukim, on the lower part of the Marim Makom sheet. The Torah says the following, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ksav Lecha Es HaDvarim Ha'eleh. We referred to this a few moments ago in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, Ki Al Pi HaDvarim Ha'eleh Karati Itcha Bris Ves Yisrael. The Gemara there said that the covenant with Klal Yisrael was consummated vis-a-vis Torah Shebal Peh, vis-a-vis the oral law. And then the Sukkim go on to indicate by Hisham and Hashem, Marboim Yom, Marboim Laila, Moshe spent 40 days and 40 nights at Har Sinai, Lechem lo achal, Umayim lo shasa, Vayichtov al aluchos, Eis divrei abris, Aseres hadvorim. So on these Sukkim, the Ramban comments in a very striking kind of fashion, a very significant, a very important Ramban. And the Ramban actually, we have it here on page number 7, page number 6 and page number 7 of the Maamar Komos referred to these psukim, where the Torah indicated this. And then on page number 7, the Ramban has the following comment, Ksav l'chos advar me'eleh, Pasuk Chav Zayin, comments the Ramban. Tziva sheyichtov sefer bris, again, Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to write the sefer, the covenant, and he should read it, and the people should hear it. Ramban says here also, just as in the first Luchos, the first tablets, there was an obligation to accept the Torah, because undoubtedly part of what it means to be a committed Jew is to be Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kula. We pointed out many times the Gemara in Becheres, and what Chazal tells us about a would-be ger, that a would-be ger is not necessarily a prize of Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara has in Yevamis, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam brings that as well in Mishnah Torah, that we tell the would-be ger the fundamentals, the basics. And then the obligation of the ger is to accept Kol HaTorah Kula, and hopefully in the course of time, he will, in Mitzvah Hashem, become aware of everything. So just as there was an obligation of Kabbalah, of accepting the Luchos, the first set, there's a similar obligation, says the Ramban, of the second Luchos, that's what he writes, Ksav Luchos HaDvar Me'elem, here there's a need to once again that the second Luchos should also be accepted. The Ramban goes on to say, there's no question that this is what happened. However, the Torah does not really spell this out in minutiae and detail. The Ramban says, it appears to me, because the Jewish people were the ones who transgressed and violated the covenant, obviously in the context of the wake of the transgression of the golden calf. So now Hashem Yisbarach had to go ahead and be mechadish to them a new bris. There's a need that another covenant, that Hashem should not in any way negate that covenant. The Yom Moshe should write down the prerequisites for this situation for this new covenant. And the Ramban goes on to say, Vizetam ki al pi advar me'ele. This is the reason why the Torah uses such a language, ki al pi advar me'ele. And the Ramban indicates that the reason for this is, karat itcha brises yisrael, v'tam itcha, ki ba'aburcha asisi imayim. Once again, this specifically relates to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Ramban, in effect, has indicated to us there's a need to go ahead, another bris, another covenant, another Kabbalah, another acceptance on the part of Kol Yisrael. This Ramban is found a number of times in Chumash. You'll take a look, for example, I didn't Xerox it over here, but in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, there also, the Ramban explains in a similar kind of fashion that what happened in the context of the first Luchos. We know that the Luchos, we actually address this issue in another Pasha Shir. We have two Pashios, Yisro, which is Kabbalah Satorah, Mishpatim, where the Rashi calls at the end of Mishpatim, Machlokes Tanoim, it's also Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and Ramban, when the Bris, the covenant, which is associated with the first Luchos, did that occur before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah? But there the Torah describes, the Gemara increases. The Gemara says that B'shosh Dvarim Nichnasu Yisrael the Bris, that there were three things that consummated the covenant. Mila, circumcision, Tvila, ablution in the ritual area for the Anglo-Saxons, and Hatzoas Domim, that there had to be Zvikas Hadam, that took place as well. So the Rabban writes in the beginning of Bahar that that was the bris that was associated with the first Luchos. And now, as a result of the Chet HaEgel, and now the Luchos are broken, so Ki'ilu, that bris was rendered null and void, and therefore that bris is no longer extant, and therefore now there's a need to go ahead and, in effect, create a new covenant. And that's the Bris Chadasha. And that's what the Torah actually says, Hine Anochi Korez Bris. Neged Kolamcho Ese Niflos Asher Lo Nivru B'chol Aretz V'chol HaGoyim. V'roch Olam Asher Ator B'Kirbos Masi Hashem Kinorahu Asher Ani Osei Imoch. So the Ramban has a lengthy description of this, both over here, as well as the beginning of Pashas Bahar, where he notes actually the need to have a separate bris. That's what the Torah is enunciating and articulating over here in the Pasha of Kisisa. But of course, the question is, it would seem that there are some distinctions between the two genre of Britot, the two genre of covenants that took place. I just mentioned the Psukim and Mishpatim point out that initial bris that relates to Aseres HaDibros. So that bris, of course, requires, as we mentioned, the Gemara in Krisus, required Akoras HaKorbanos, Zvikas Hadam Alam Mizbeach, and the question is, why did not that take place in this second bris that the Torah is now articulating over here in Parshas Kisisa? The Ramban indicates that there's a need to once again re-articulate and reaffirm and re-accept the bris of Matan Torah, because here we have a new covenant taking place, and yet not all the elements are there, and there are some new elements here that we don't see initially, namely the Karnei Hod, namely the radiance, the features of Moshe Rabbeinu that are glistening, is something that we encounter over here we didn't see earlier in that initial set of luchos, the first set of luchos that were given to Klal Yisrael on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi quotes from Chazal, the very well-known Medrash. Rashi quotes that in Perek Lamed Daled, here, Pasuk Chavtes, Rashi quotes from a Tanchuma, that where Moshe Rabbeinu acquire these Karnei Hod. So without entering into that entire discussion, but essentially it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu, this Kirin Or Ponim, Moshe Rabbeinu was zochet to, whether he was zochet from the Luchos, that's mashma from a pasuk in Chabakuk. But what exactly is the nature, again, of these distinctions? So there's a very beautiful and absolutely, to my mind, gorgeous Beis Halevi, probably one of the most famous Beis Halevis that is well known. I heard from my Rebbe, Moran HaGoyin Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, many, many times this Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi is found in his Perush Al HaTorah. That's a sefer that everyone should, Lefi Anius Daiti, tonight acquire the sefer and learn it. That sefer has Yisoidis in Hashkofa, has such fundamental premises in the Hashkofa Satela. Kimat every single piece there is literally, one could say every piece barkoi, what the Gemara says in Yuma, that is mole chidushim, chidushim that are absolutely hafodik. So the Beis Halevi has Ala Torah, but he also has in his drushes. For those who are interested, it's Drush Yud Ches. And there he explains the distinction between the first Luchos and the second Luchos. He discusses that based on the Yerushalmi, without going into all the details, but the Yerushalmi, let's just try to provide a precis of that Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi contends, it's Yerushalmi in Shkolim, also Yerushalmi in Seita, that with reference to the original Luchos, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu came down, Shnei Luchos Ha'edus B'yado, Luchos Ksuvim Mishnei Ebrehem. Luchos are written on both sides. Mizeh u'mizeh hen Ksuvim. There's writing on both sides. So the Yerushalmi goes on to explain over there that between Kol Dibur v'Dibur, the writing on both sides, you have Dikdukim and Osios of the Torah. The Beis Halevi explains, what does that mean, the Yerushalmi? It means the following, that essentially in the Luchos HaRishonos, you have not just the Torah Shebichsav, not just the written law that's embedded in the Luchos, but you also have the entire Torah Shebalpeh. The entire oral law is ramuz, is somehow hinted to in the letters that are written on the luchos. Masha'en kein, says the Beis Halevi, in the second set of luchos, there you only have the Torah Shebichtav, only the written law, only the Aseres Hadvarim, only the Ten Commandments. But you don't have any remez to Torah Shebal Peh, to the oral law, in the second set of luchos. And the truth is, it's not just his chiddush, which he writes based on the Yerushalmi. I saw the Malbim also in a similar fashion. In Perek Lamadala Pasuk of Ches, the Malbim explains exactly in a similar kind of fashion. The Luchas of Rishonos Waksud Mishnei Abraham says the Malbim that Shenichtevu Kol Diktuki HaTorah HaNigla VaNistar, both the overt and the covert, both the open and the hidden aspects of Torah are embedded in the first Luchas, Masha'en Kein. In the second Luchas, there you only have Aseres HaDvarim. There you only have the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros. So the Beis Halevi explains that in the Luchas of Rishonos, all of Torah Shebal Peh is Ramuz. The entire Torah Shebal Peh is embedded, is hinted to in the Luchos. So therefore, as a result of that, we are the ones who are obligated to be Mekayim the Torah. We're obligated to observe the Torah. However, Klal Yisrael and the Luchos are two separate entities. We're apart one from the other. However, says the Beis Halevi, in the Luchos Shnios, in the second set of commandments, was only Torah Shebichtav. So where's the Torah Shebal Peh? The answer is Torah Shebal Peh is emblazoned in the heart and in the mind and in the persona of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where Torah Shebal Peh is to be found. Moshe Rabbeinu's entire physical persona, in effect, becomes a kli of Kedusha. His entire body is now literally transformed, transmuted, sanctified, becomes a chefs of Torah Shebal Peh. That's how the Beis Halevi explains it. So just like in the Luchos HaRishonos, we're written all Torah Shebal Peh on the Guf HaLuchos, in the Luchos Shnios, all Torah Shebal Peh is written in the heart, in mind of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in effect, now we have two separate sets of Luchos, and that's exactly what Rabbeinu Bechaye suggests. Rabbeinu Bechaye suggests, he writes this both in his, he has a wonderful parish, Rabbeinu Bechaye, called Shulchan Shel Arba. Shulchan Shel Arba is an entire compendium he wrote on Hilchos Seuda. Essentially, he encompasses all the halachas relating to brachas in Kol HaTorah Kula, and then he also has an etiquette of eating. One of the most beautiful of Rav Soloveitchik's drashos that I was zechut here in 1969. The Rav said an incredible drasha on two majestic nights. I actually spoke about it the other night in another context, namely Leil HaSeder and Leil Yom Kippurim. The Rambam uses the term Seder, dafka, with reference to these two items. When he speaks about Leil HaSeder, he uses the term Seder, and based on the Mishnayos in Yuma, the Rambam uses the term Seder with reference to Avodas Yom Kippurim. They have to be Lefi HaSeder. But the majestic night of the Seder is a night that is also essentially an analysis and an understanding, a deep understanding, a profound understanding of our approach to gastronomic delights, if I can use such a terminology, to eating and drinking. It has to be done in a measured kind of way, in a disciplined kind of fashion. And Chazal carefully moderated and provided the backdrop and provided the guidelines how to go about eating that one should not be engaged in achila gasa. Often you meet young people from time to time, and they told me they just went recently to Papagayos. Papagayos, Harav Shor Shlita, is a well-known restaurant in Yerushalayim. Eat whatever you like for 190 shekel. And so they, Baruch Hashem, go ahead and engage in achila gasa kol hayom kol hayla, both days and tastes. They're mekayim achila gasa all the way, writ large. And that somehow seems to be some sort of a kiyum. I'm not sure exactly what a kiyum it is, but apparently it's a kiyum, but it's obviously the antithesis of exactly what our achila is all about, what it should be, which should be disciplined. The president should, as the Rambam writes, the Moreh Nevuchim, a president should live not to eat, but rather eat in order to live. And this seems to be the opposite philosophy. Okay, that was just the ha'ara on the side. Back to the Rabbeinu Bechaye. So he writes in Shulchan Shel Arba, and that's it. He points out that the Karen Yehoda Moshe Rabbeinu emanated from the Luchos. That's the pasuk in Habakkuk. In Perek Gimel, the Navi there speaks about Karnayim biyado lo, b'shom chev yonuzo. And there, the Rabbeinu Bechaye understands that Moshe Rabbeinu was zochem to the Karnei Hod from the Luchos, Kikarn, or Panav b'dabro ito. And those essentially the karnei hod, the ha'aras ponim of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the luchos of Torah Sheval Peh, which is embedded inside the luchos hashnios, as I mentioned. Apparently there's an identification. There's the two are coterminous. Namely, there's a connection, a very close connection between the second luchos and Torah Sheval Peh and Moshe Rabbeinu. And if hence what Rabbeinu Bechaye and the Balaturim and others already suggest, the karnei hod of Karan or Panov, that illumination came from the luchos themselves, came from Torah Sheval Peh. That's the source. Chochmas Odom Torah Panov, says the Pasuk. That a person actually, the illumination that comes in a person's face emanates from the Chochma that Hashem Yisbarach is mezakeh him with, and there Moshe Rabbeinu was zoche to karnei hod. And that's why the Rashbam explains that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chatchila that there should be two requests. Request number one, that he should be moved though from the rest of Klal Yisrael, the karnei hod, in order that everyone should see the Kedusha and the Romamus of Torah Sheval Peh, of the oral law. The oral law ultimately embodies the essence of what we're all about, of what Klal Yisrael is all about. And therefore, now the kasha that the Ibn Ezra asked on the Goyin is to be resolved. The Goyin wrote that the luchos shniyim nichbodim and harishonim. Those luchos are on a higher level than the original luchos. The second luchos were given on Yom Kippur and not B'Yom Chol, as the first luchos were given. And we have three brisos. And it says in the second luchos, man yitav loch, and they were not broken. That's the Gemara B'Kama, Daf Nun Hem and Aleph. And the Tziv quotes from the Medrash, that Smolo Tachas Roshi refers to Luchas HaRishonim, and Bimino Tachab Keni refers to Luchas HaShniyim. And the Ibn Ezra asked the Kasha, but both of them were Michtav Elokim, both of them are the handiwork of Hashem Yisbarach, and the first one is also Masi Elokim, and the second one is the Masi of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in light of what the Rishonim here suggests, it's very clear that in the Chanami, the Rishonim are Masi Elokim, and undoubtedly everything was clearly carved and hewn by Hashem Yisbarach. And all Torah Sheval Peh is merumas in those luchas harishonos. But still, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, it's a completely separate, as I mentioned earlier, Mashen Kein, in contradistinction to the second set of luchos, that are nichbodim in harishonim. Why? Because here, the body of Torah Sheval Peh is literally became part and parcel, part of the very warp and woof, part of the very fabric of Moshe Rabbeinu's persona, part of his very being. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu zochet to karnei hod. So in effect, the first luchos are smolo tachas roshi. Tachas, very meduyok. The luchos are by themselves. Amunach tachas roshi. The second luchos are the bechina of yemino techapkeni. That here, Klal Yisrael, the luchos are literally clung together. Dvukim ahadodi kishnei oyavim hamechapkim zeh hamisachdim zeim zeh. And therefore, there's a fundamental distinction between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios. I heard from Hagoyin, Rav Levinger, the Baal Imre Chayin, he commented on the pasuk that we say on Shabbos morning, Yismach Meshe B'matnas Kolko. Kayadua, the Torah already points out that there's a distinction between what we say on Friday night, what we say on Shabbos morning, what we say on Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos afternoon, of course, is the ultimate yichud between Hashem Yisbarach and Klal Yisrael. Ato echad v'shimcha echad u'mi ki'amcha Yisrael go echad ba'aretz. And then we have the tefillah that we say on Friday night and Shabbos morning. On Friday night, ato kidashta, yom ha'shvi'i l'shmecha, tachlis ma'aseh shemayim ba'aretz. It's connected to Briyas Ha'olam, to the creation, to Genesis. And Shabbos, of course, was set apart. Shabbos was demarcated. Nikola Yomim, and the Chen Kosev Surasecha, Vishom Meseh Asa Shabbos, Lasos, Asa Shabbos, Darosa Brisolam. And on Shabbos morning, Tikanta Shabbos, Vatsisa Kobin Oseh, Tivisa Perushem, Sidurei Nisachel. But we also have Yismach Meshe, B'mad Naschelko. So when we examine Yismach Meshe, very fascinating Keta, Moshe Rabbeinu should be elated, should be happy, B'mad Naschelko, the Matona. That he sees Hashem is Barach. Of course, we're referring to the Gemara on Shabbos, the Matana of Shabbos. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Matana Yeshli B'Beis Gnozai B'Shabbos Shmo, Lech, go V'Hodiyah L'Yisrael, tell Klal Yisrael about Shabbos, that's in this week's Pasha, L'Das Ki Ani Hashem V'Kadishchem. Here we have Shabbos mentioned among the many Pashas that mention Shabbos, but here the way that we show them point out that the Nakuda that's accentuated, Dafka and Kisisa, is the Nakuda of the Eis Bris that Shabbos represents. So again, going back to the Yismach Meshev and Madas Chelko, Ki Eved Neman Karasalo, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Eved Neman par excellence of Hashem Yisbarach, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, the way the Radak writes at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, Eved is someone that, as we know, the Eved is Meshubad, Lerabo, Laadono, he's completely mortgaged and completely subordinate, subservient to his master who directs traffic, and unquestionably that an Eved carries out the wishes of his master. But then the tefillah continues. Klil Tiferes B'Roshay Nosatolo. Moshe Rabbeinu was given a kind of diadem of glory. B'Omdo Lifanecha Al Har Sinai. When we stood, Moshe Rabbeinu stood before Hashem Yisbarach on Har Sinai. U'Shnei Luchos Avonim Hori B'Yado. This is on the Shachris of Shabbos morning. So in that tefillah, very fascinatingly, what are we speaking about? Klil Tiferes, a diadem of glory that surrounded Moshe Rabbeinu, namely the crown that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the two luchos, and the two luchos had in them Shmira Shabbos, and it says in the Torah, Vishambo. So obviously we're talking about which set of luchos? The second set of luchos. Because we know one of the distinction between the luchos in Yisrael and luchos v'eschanon. The ones in Yisrael, we have Zochas Yom HaShabbos Akacho. The ones in v'eschanon, Shomos Yom HaShabbos Akacho. Zocha, of course, refers to the way the Gemara says in Avnim Tzochim, Zochrei Alayayim, or Chazal, Zochrei Odiv HaShemach V'Kiddush, the positive aspects of Shabbos. Shomer refers to the negative aspects of Shabbos. I once commented on a Talmud of mine many, many years ago. The Talmud did not appear. I was in my yeshiva for Shabbos, and the Talmud did not appear the entire Shabbos. I actually saw him every Shabbos, and I didn't see him until Havdalah, Motzei Shabbos. I said, "Where were you?" And he told me, "Rosh Yeshiva, I fell asleep." I said, "24 hours straight? How is that possible? I also sleep 24 hours, but in 5-6 days, one does not sleep 24 hours in one night. That's impossible." He said, "No, it's very possible. I know how to do it, Baruch Hashem." So I said, "But what happened to Zochas and Mashabbos and Kacho? What about Kiddush? What about the three meals? What about the Chemishneh?" He said, "Unfortunately, I'm sorry, I apologize, but I'm sure you'll be happy about one thing. Namely," I said, "What? Shomar. I didn't violate anything in Shabbos. I observed all the Dinim of Shabbos." Yes, he did. So Shomar and Mashabbos and Kacho is embedded here in this tefillah that we say on Shacharis and Shabbos morning. But we're talking about the second luchos, because it speaks about Shmir Shabbos. In the first luchos, it says Zohar. In the second luchos, it says Shomar. And that's what now the understanding of the initial statement is. Klil Tiferesh Beroshon Esatolo. Wow, what does it mean now? It means the Karni Hod. When were they given to Moshe? In the second luchos. In the Kabbalah of Luchos Shnios. And the Mefarshim say that explicitly. Look at the Mefarshim. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very fond of examining tfilos, slichos, piyutim, even though most of them he didn't say. However, he felt that if one wants to have a sense of the Kedush Sayom, of Shabbos, of Yom Tiv, one has to say piyutim. Obviously, not in the context of tfilo. That's based on the sugya in Brachas. Welcome Shalom of the Harich, and Rashi the Katzeh, Machlok is Rashi Teis. There's a lot of Rishayim there, and that's so you discuss it. But the Mefarshim say explicitly what I just told you, that this Keta in Shacharis refers to Klil Tiferes, namely the Lucho Shnios, the Karni Hod. But what's the Lashon of Yismach Meshe B'matnas Chelko? And what does it mean, Klil Tiferes B'Roshe Nosatolo? So the answer, of course, is, said the Balim Rechein, that it means that the second luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu was given, as the Gemara says in the Dorim, that the pilpul of Torah, the Gemara in the Dorim, Daf Lamed Ches, the famous Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina, Lo Nitna Torah L'Moshe L'Zaro, Solecha, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu Noag Bo Torah S'ayin, Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was such a philanthropic kind of individual, beneficent in nature, gave it over to Klal Yisrael, Tov Ayin Hu Yivarech. And the Gemara then goes on to ask a question. The Gemara finally says that the pilpul of the Torah, namely all the beautiful chidushim, chidushi Torah that we are enjoying while we are speaking, while we are talking, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That element of pilpul, that element of chidush, the Torah Shema Peh, that was literally bereisha nasatalo, that was in place in Moshe Rabbeinu's head. So Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Wow, what a gewaltig simcha that Moshe Rabbeinu has. Klil tiferes bereisha nasatalo. And now we understand what the Ibn Ezra commented in the beginning of the parsha, what we saw earlier. Hinei anochi kores bris. The Ibn Ezra calls from the Gaon. Ki ashniyim nichbadim min arishonim. The second set of luchos is more honorable on a higher level in some respects than the first. The second has in it three covenants. And dafka b'luchos shniyos, it says, Hinei anochi kores bris, Torah Shebaal Peh, and the second luchos are with Moshe Rabbeinu are intertwined inexorably. Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the embodiment of Torah Shebaal Peh. Yisrael v'araisa b'kutcha b'richu chadhu ke'ilu, the way the Mesalevi expressed that we are in effect the klaf of the Torah, the parchment of the Torah itself. And that's what the Torah describes here in Kisisa v'ayar Aaron v'chol b'nei Yisrael as Moshe v'nei Koran or Ponov. And that's the bris of the illumination that comes as a result of one studying and delving into Torah Shebaal Peh, all embodied in the body of Moshe Rabbeinu, who shared this with Klal Yisrael, and everyone has to recognize and realize that is something, Ashelo Nibru b'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'goyim, namely this Karne Hod, the Karne or part of Moshe Rabbeinu, lo chasa eino v'lo nas lecho. Once he has this Ha'aras Ponim, Torah Shebaal Peh, one, a person is committed to Torah Shebaal Peh, there's no concept of zikna, no concept of, one does not become an octogenarian, there's no concept of becoming elderly. Ad Rabba, v'roh chalom asher ato b'kibros masi Hashem kino rahu, v'ayiru migeshes elav, the way Rashi and Tosfos write in Shabbos, on daf pei chesem and aleph. Karni ho consists of the two ksorim that, as a result of the cheder egel, were taken away. We know that. The Torah speaks about this earlier, that we no longer can have those adayim on us. So vayiru migeshes elav, that this is the lucho shnios, the chelik of Torah Shebaal Peh, that Moshe Rabbeinu was zoche, he and his sayin, but Moshe Rabbeinu betovas ayin, gave it over with boundless chesed to all of us, to all of Klal Yisrael. And now we understand as well the other question that we posed. Why is it in the Luchos we've shown us there was a bris, Zvichas Zvochim, Zvichas Dam ala Etzem, ala Dam, ala Am, Yala Mizbech, the Gemara in Krisos, Bishol Shadvarim, Nichlus Yisrael, the bris, Bimila, Utfila, Batsoas Domim, and yet in the second set of Luchos we don't find any of this? The answer, of course, is because the nature of the second Luchos is massively and markedly different than the first Luchos. Namely, the first Luchos is Torah Shebichsat and Torah Shebaal Peh. Both of them are embedded in the Luchos themselves. But it's not, as the Beis Halevi points out, Klal Yisrael is on one side, and those Luchos which have both Torah Shebichsat and Torah Shebaal Peh on the other side. And that's why there's a need for Krisas Bris with Dam, and there's a need for Zvikas Adam, in order that those begodim, that the Dam was Nizrak, the Dam Bris, they are a kind of testimony, the way Abin Bechai writes over there, and then Abin Hanano. However, all this is in contradistinction to the second set of Luchos, where the Torah Shebaal Peh becomes embedded in the heart and mind of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that, of course, was conveyed and transmitted to us as well. That's the Kirin or Panav Shem Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Karni Hod from the Luchos themselves. Yisrael, Kutcha B'richo, V'araisa, Chadu. We're all one. We're all connected. We're all bound up with each other and bound up with the Torah Shebaal Peh. There's no need for Zvikas Adam. There's no need for that kind of Krisas Bris. Absolutely unnecessary. And the nature of the bris of the second luchos is markedly different than the first. Let me share a very famous and very beautiful comment of the Medrash Tanchuma found in Parshas Noach when it speaks about Torah Shebaal Peh and our connection to Torah Shebaal Peh. It writes, the oral law, kosher lilmod, is not easy to learn. V'yesh bo tzar godol, it involves enormous amount of pain. He meshula lechoshech. It's literally compared to darkness. Shenemar ha'om ha'ochim bechoshech. Ro'o gadol. Elu Balei HaTalmud, someone who studies the Talmud initially, he encounters enormous difficulties, many, many challenges, many problematica. But if one spends and expends one's energy and many, many years of one's life to understand it, one will be Zocher, the way the Chazon Ish writes, but it's a Medrash. Shero or Godol, one will see a tremendous light. Shakodesh Bochu Meir Eneim B'Yisra V'Heter B'Tomim V'Tor. And lost in love on the future, says the Medrash, the Oavo Kisei Shashemesh B'Gvuroso. It's likened to the blazing sun that emerges. V'im Tomar, if you want to say, Ala Torah B'Chsav, Kof Alei Mesahar, maybe Hashem, the Gemara in Shabbos, where he took the mountain and put it over us and said, if you accept the Torah, fine, V'im Lav, Shom Tekvur Aschem, there will be a burial spot. Maybe it refers to the written law. So the Medrash answers, no, not possible. But rather, what does it refer to? Torah Shebal Peh, Sheesh Bo Dikduke Mitzvahs Kalos V'Chamuros. It has a lot of detail. Some of them are lighter, some of them are heavier. V'hi Azo Kamoves, V'kosho Kisho Kinoso, L'fi She'ein Leimed Eso. Who learns Torah Shebal Peh? Who studies the oral law? Mi She'oyei V'akadosh Baruch Hu V'chol Liboi U'v'chol Nafshoi V'chol Me'odo. Only someone who has a passionate romance with the Almighty, with Hashem is Barach. V'lamedcha comes to teach you, shakol mishoev, oishev, etaynug, whoever wants to lead a comfortable life, a life of, if you will, which is more carefree, more relaxed, R&R, eino yachal limot Torah Shebal Peh. That person will not merit understanding the oral law. V'ish yesh b'tzar godol v'nidut sheina, because it involves tremendous pain, and a person sometimes has to lose many nights of sleep in order to understand a passage in the Talmud. And therefore the schar that person will receive is going to be in the world to come. What is the or godol? What is that great light that one will see? The or that was created by Yomarisha. What covenant is there that is both by day and night? And the answer is that's the covenant of the Torah Shebal Peh, of the oral law. So the Parsha Kisisa, in a nutshell, teaches us that when one accepted, when Klal Yisrael accepted the second Luchos and the Torah Shebal Peh, essentially something dramatic happened over here. Namely, Moshe Rabbeinu became the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu became the, not just the Manig Yisrael that he was, the leader of Klal Yisrael, but we don't call Moshe, as Rav Soloveitchik always pointed out, he's not called Moshe Manhigenu, Moshe Madrichenu, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu. That's his primary role, even though Moshe Rabbeinu Adin Melech, as the Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu Adin Melech, Vayi Bishur Melech, Bisasi Bashayam, Achokos HaRishonim, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Hashem is brought to Kaviyochol, but here Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the Rebbe par excellence of Klal Yisrael. Torah Shebal Peh is transmitted through Masera, from a Rebbe to a Talmud, based on the principle of Gdele Shimusha Shol Teira, Yosef Milimuda. And of course, the Rayas from this week's Pasha, Yeshua Ben Nun Nar, Lo Yomish Mitoch HaOyel. One who wants to be Zeichet to Torah Shebal Peh, cannot leave the tent of his Rebbe, has to be Meshamish his Rebbe, has to scrutinize his Rebbe, has to observe his Rebbe, has to follow the model of his Rebbe, Asei L'charav. If one wants to acquire Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore anyone can go ahead and make this acquisition, as the Rambam writes, and already we have in Mishnayis, when the Mishnayis speak of three ksorim, three crowns, Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus. Keser Kahuna, of course, is the lineage of Aaron HaKohen. Keser Malchus, kingship, belongs to King David, the Davidic dynasty, David HaMelech. Keser Torah, Kaloritz Elitol, Yavu Elitol. Whoever wants to be a part of the crown of Torah, it's open and available. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Kisisa, this is the Hachtara of Moshe Rabbeinu, the inaugural of Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Rebbe par excellence of Klal Yisrael. U'moshe lo yoda, ki koran arpana bedabro ito. That radiance on the features of Moshe Rabbeinu, in effect, indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was transformed into a levitical Sefer Torah, into a living Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was diskadesh mikdushas haguf. Moshe Rabbeinu became a klishores shein lo pidyon. Why? Because of that unbelievable connection between the guf of Moshe Rabbeinu and the kedusha of Torah Shebal Peh. So all of us with all of our challenges, with all of our problematica, with all of our difficulties, all of us have the ability to connect to Torah Shebaal Peh. All of us have the ability to make a connection to a Rebbe. All of us have the ability to, in effect, also fulfill Kosvei Maluach Libecha. It should be written on the tablets of our heart. That refers to Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, now more than ever, this is something that really is a Tzav Hashor for every one of us, Halavai to all of us, as a result of Yigia of Amalo Shel Torah, should be zochet to sanctify on the Shomos, our bodies, Nivchei Libeinu V'Nafsheinu, should become Mekudosh, should become a Klishores, Yihi Ratzon, that every one of us will, in effect, take upon himself that obligation, that mandate. And Halavai, we should be zochet Ha'om, the nation actually, Ha'olchim Ha'cheshech, Ro, Or, Godom, that should be the Or of Pnei Mishach Tzikeinu, B'meir Yomeinu, Amen V'Yomein.
David, can I ask a question?